Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I want to ask you today, are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for a miracle? And I love that song, Are You Ready for a Miracle? And I have a miracle to share with you today. The beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Sharon Callahan. Sharon is author of Healing Animals Naturally with flower essences and intuitive listening. She is a world-class animal communicator and has actually worked in sanctuaries around the world, animal sanctuaries. She is precious beyond words to me. She has caused all kinds of miracles in the animals in my life. And I just want to welcome you, beloved Sharon, and thank you for being here and sharing with us.
Oh, thank you for having me again, Iris. It's always such a pleasure to be on your show. And it's always so amazing, the beautiful things that come up to be discussed and shared with people.
Well, Sharon, we're doing a series on prosperity.
Yeah.
And I would like to hear your definition of prosperity. To me, I can see and feel and experience you as a very prosperous person. And also, how animals contribute to our prosperity and the way that may have been hooked up for some people that they live on animals somehow.
Right.
They breed them, or they sell them for meat, or they sell them for leather, or testing, or, you know, something that causes grief, and that is not prosperity.
No, it isn't. I think that, to me, the easiest thing as far as describing prosperity in a way is to describe what it isn't, because I think most people think of prosperity or abundance as something that they need to get from outside themselves. And in a sense, there's no way for us to get anything because everything, all of the abundance we could possibly ever imagine, we actually already have, because when God created us, He created us in His image, and so whatever qualities God has, we also have. So there's no way to get prosperity or abundance. It has to come from within ourselves. And so what's necessary for prosperity, or what other people might call abundance, is really to draw on the own bounty of abundance that we have within ourselves. It's drawing on our love, which is actually the love of God, which is infinite. And it's a matter of letting it flow out from ourselves rather than seeking it or anything else to come to us. So I think, you know, largely, particularly in our American culture, which is so geared towards getting ahead and getting more things and being competitive with other people, we almost have this mindset that what we need is something that we have to get on the outside, or is something that we don't have within us. But really, all of the great teachers, including the greatest of the great, like Jesus and Buddha, said that the kingdom of heaven is within. And so that, to me, abundance comes through allowing what we already have and what has already been given to us to flow out to the world from the inside out. And, of course, as we allow our love and our abundance and our prosperity to flow through us, we're the beneficiaries of that also. And I think, you know, some people might get a little bit annoyed or prickly when they hear that, because they might be sitting in a little one-room apartment and not be able to pay the rent, and they might be thinking, well, what on earth could I possibly give? I don't have anything. But, you know, any of us, if we look around, there is something that we can give. And if we can't give something that's physical, we can certainly give of our time and our attention. We can certainly give to all of the people that we meet on the street when we take a walk by giving them a smile and giving them a compliment. And really, no matter what our situation in life is, in whatever little way we begin to give, we begin the flow of grace and abundance through us to the world, and then we also become the beneficiary. So all of the great teachers would say that the secret to abundance or prosperity is actually giving. And the other component that I feel is really important and often overlooked is the gratitude, is having absolute gratitude for the abundance that we have now. Because even if we're in a situation where maybe we don't even have a home, maybe we're sitting on a park bench or something and we don't know where our next meal is coming from, still life itself is abundant. And if we look around in the trees and the plants and the flowers and we see the birds and we realize that we're alive and we have the air to breathe, then we begin to be grateful for what has already been given. Then it becomes more easy to allow love and prosperity and all good things to flow from us. And then as it flows from us, we simply begin to become more and more abundant. And I think also that many people lack abundance because really they don't love themselves enough and they don't realize who they really are, because they've not gotten in touch with their I Am presence. They don't realize that they are in fact not only an instrument of God, but that we are all a part of God, that we're all unique and individual facets of the divine. And so as we become more in touch with that part of us that is divine, and we begin to honor that in ourselves, then also we can more easily give in whatever way we can in the world, and the less inclined we become to harm any other living being, because we know really that every other being is not only like us, but is us, that really in an ultimate sense we are all one. Not just one with all other people, but one with the animals, the plants, the trees, the minerals, even the things that we think of as inanimate objects, like the chairs that we're sitting on or the desk that we're writing on. So I think that for abundance and prosperity to be evident in our life in a way that we can recognize it, it's all a matter of getting the flow going from the inside out. It's like there's a great fountain of love and abundance inside each one of us, just ready to spill out. And as we let that spill out, then the supply is actually endless, because the fountain we have within us, or the supply of grace and abundance within us, is the supply of abundance and grace that is God's, and it's never ending, and it flows without end. So there should never be ever, even if we're down to our seemingly last nickel, there should never be any hesitation to give away.
Could I say something about that?
Yes.
You know, you were saying somebody might feel resentful that was sitting there not able to pay their bills.
Yes.
In a one-room apartment, and one picture I had was, you know, a homeless person sitting on a park bench, but they had their laptop.
Yeah.
That's how they heard you. Even the homeless here have cell phones. And
yes.
but that's just a joke. But I remembered two stories, and one was in a Catherine Ponder book, and this woman had no food for her children.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out of money, and she didn't know what she was going to do, and she went to her spiritual teacher, and she said, okay, set the table. It with your most beautiful crystal and china, the most beautiful dishes you
yes.
have. Put flowers on the table. Get the kids dressed up and with expectancy, you know, for
yes.
a feast. And then give something away. And she said, I don't have anything to give away. And then she was shown these flowers that were blooming in her yard, so she made a beautiful bouquet and took it to one of her neighbors. And, you know, someone who had owed her money from years ago dropped off a check.
Yes.
And she got her feast. So, you know, you were making the point that you can always give something away. And instead of trying to get something, being the source of the good.
That's right.
It's like if you go to a party, you don't sit around and go, oh, this party's so dull. When I go to a party, Sharon, I am the party.
You are the party. You take the party with you.
But I'm responsible for that, you
yes.
know. This is my party. I'm going to have fun here.
And really, life is our party.
Yes.
Life is supposed to be easy and abundant and loving and lush and full of every good thing. But the part of it that's a bit challenging is that the entire collective consciousness of human beings has been programmed for so long to think that life should be difficult and a struggle and that things only come by hard work. But it actually really isn't true. I mean, if for people that are interested in the scriptures, you can read the scriptures from any of the sacred traditions, and it will talk about how God created life in great abundance, abundance overflowing. It's just that we have forgotten that, and we have forgotten the part about giving, and we have forgotten that sometimes we're simply under the cloud of the collective thinking, and we can get out of that cloud. You know, it's just like stepping out from under a cloud on a rainy day. If you go far enough, you can step out from under that dark cloud, and the sun is shining.
Well, that brings me to the next point. It's all one, actually, that I had a great teacher that said, if you want to be really wealthy, give something away every day.
Yes.
And, you know, that creates such a flow, I can hardly handle it.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like the law of tenfold return has caught up with me.
That's wonderful.
this same teacher said to all of these people that were really struggling with money, I mean, especially me, she asked me, if I had all the money in the world, what would I do with it? And I said, I'd pay my bills as far as it would go.
Right.
And I didn't think it would cover it. And she said to all of these people, you will come to a place where you are looking for ways to give away all this money.
That's right.
You will come to that place, and all of us just went, oh, sure. And Sharon, I have.
I know you have.
I have come to that place, and it is from obeying these laws and these rules that you're talking about.
Right.
They are real. They are true. And I want to say to people, wherever you are, don't give up.
No. And it really is a matter, you know, to me, the bottom line for all of us is simply taking the time every day to sit quietly and connect with God in whatever way we perceive God to be, but not a God that's outside of ourselves, the God that's within us, the I Am presence that is within us. Because if we really do that, I think people think about it or they think it's a good idea, but they don't really sit down and do it. And I think that really, if you sit down every day, preferably in the morning when you start your day, and really concentrate or focus on the presence of God within you, and you feel the power of that, then you get in touch with the realization of spiritual grace, which to me, grace is the outpouring of all good things from God. And in that presence, which we can touch in within us, there's nothing that's possible other than great abundance, because it really is like an inner fountain that just flows out and out and out from us. But we really must sit with ourselves and do that connecting with the I Am presence, and also realizing that the I Am presence, the God presence within each one of us, is also, of course, within everyone else and every animal and every plant. And then beginning to see that when we walk through our life, to connect from I Am presence to I Am presence, and to do that giving every day. And really, the giving can become so wonderful that you not only give something once a day, but you give something many, many times a day, because there's such tremendous joy in it. Mm. It could become a career in itself.
You know, that is my career.
I know it is. It works, doesn't it?
It works, and you know, I've had to hire help to get out all my presents, you know, to wrap and order and do all of that. And now I'm thinking, you know, last Christmas, Sunny said to me, Mom, you know what you need is you need a pack of elves. You need a whole lot of elves.
You do.
Yeah, I know. And so Sharon and I are ordering our divine selection of elves.
Yes.
I get my job is making miracles for people.
Yes.
You know, being a miracle for somebody and giving them an unexpected gift and pouring out love on them and remembering their birthday and telling them they're a gift and appreciating them.
Right.
And, you know, part of what has dulled people down so that they can do things that are against their heart,
yes,
is just not being appreciated or seen or known as their true self.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And so, you know, if you were saying compliment somebody, smile at somebody. I'll never forget, I was in the grocery store one time, and I saw this couple, and both of them looked like they had been seriously abused as children. I just got that, you
mm-hmm.
know. And there was a baby, and the baby was smiling at them, and the girl says to her boyfriend, she was practically in tears, she said, "He smiled at me, he likes me."
Right.
And it was such a shock. And I think all of us have been sort of shocked and surprised every time we've realized that somebody really does love us.
That's right. And I think, Iris, you really touched at the core issue that really keeps us from being in abundance and keeps the entire earth from being in a state of healing and perfection, is that really we've forgotten who we are. We really have forgotten that each one of us is a miracle, that each one of us is a divine gift of God. And you know, to me, that brings me right to the animals, because when we were talking earlier about, and how you and I have talked in the past about how our love for animals and the presence of animals in our life can add to our abundance. Well, one of the main ways that they do, aside from just the beauty of having them in our environment, is that when an animal looks at us, they really see our I Am presence. They see us in the fullness of our perfection. They look past all of the things that we may consider are wrong with us or not right or not good enough. Right to the core of our being, they see the jewel that we are. And if we can get in touch with that, if we can get in touch with the fact that we are a gift, that we wouldn't be here on the earth if we weren't a gift to the earth sent by God, then we can get busy doing the giving. And animals help us do that all the time, especially for people like you and I that just adore them. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of mood we're in. We might be crashing around the house in anger. We might be just getting up and feeling that we look awful and we're not pretty. But our cat or dog looks at us, and they think we're the most beautiful thing in the world. And they see through to that God presence. And that's one of the reasons that we love them so much. And it's very much the same as you were describing with the lady looking at the baby and feeling that, oh, the baby loves me. That's what animals do, too. They just love us no matter what.
You know, you've often said that all of the animals are more aware of their connection with each other than people are.
Oh, yes.
And so all of the animals that we have and that we love so much are also connected with all those that are slaughtered and abused and tortured.
That's right.
And so I think it's a miracle that they aren't prejudiced against human beings, that they don't hate our ass, all of us.
That is the miracle.
That's the first miracle, that they trust any of us.
Jerks. That's right.
I always feel like saying to the animals, excuse me, I'm not with them.
Yeah. Oh, I do say that. I'm not one of them.
Well, I also have asked forgiveness for all the animals I've ever been part of taking their life or them being confined or anything. Like, I used to take my kids to the zoo when they were real little.
Right.
And it was just sad. I didn't want anybody to live like that.
But it is so important, you know, that we be gentle with ourselves and forgive ourselves for what we didn't know in the past and just be in the fullness of our love for the animals now. Because, you know, when we talk about the animals being connected with their collective consciousness or soul group much more intimately than people are. I mean, people are also. I mean, we are very much under the influence of the collective consciousness of humans, but animals even more so, each with their species, because they simply haven't lost the knowingness that they are all one. And, of course, as you're saying, the negative part of that is that each animal, each dog and cat in our home, on some level is feeling the untimely death and the torture and the cruelty that's inflicted on others of their species. But in a positive sense, what we can do to reverse that is to take the animals that we have as part of our family. And it doesn't mean that we have to necessarily rescue every animal on the street, but those that we have, if we treat them with the greatest respect and dignity and treat them as divine beings, they will then translate that back into the collective consciousness of their species, and that begins a kind of healing. So that the bridge begins to work in the opposite direction. Instead of feeding torture and cruelty into the collective consciousness of animals, we begin to feed in all of the love and devotion that we have to them, the appreciation, the recognition of them as divine beings. And for those of us who have animals, and I would think most of our listeners do have a dog or a cat, or maybe more than one of each, that's the way we can begin to turn things around. And to me, that's a way to give a gift every day. Give something to your beloved animal, you know. Give him his favorite treat, or just sit with him and admire his beauty and ask him if he would please transmit that to the collective consciousness. And animals love to do that. They love to deliver positive messages to the collective consciousness of dogs or cats.
Well, you know, you reminded me of something that you and I saw that I'll never forget. We went to the feed store to get, I think we went to get food for my bunnies.
Yes.
And there were about 100 little chicks in a galvanized tub, you know, with a light on them and everything. And they were just teeny tiny, so they'd fit in the palm of your hand. And I just love baby chicks. And at the same time, I still give my cats chicken treats, you know. And I was just loving them, and you were loving them. And then we saw in the corner there was one that was dying.
Yes.
And one little chick got at its head. And the other little, and another one got at its feet, and they spread their wings over it.
That's right.
And they shielded it from all of the chirping and stuff around it, but
mm-hmm.
they were also sending love. And
they definitely were. I mean, I could literally see and feel the energy from their wings showering that little chick with love and divine light.
You know, and it's so important to me that everybody gets to live out their life.
That's right.
You know, we have, Sharon and I went to the Humane Society in Mount Shasta, and there, I thought we were there for some other reason. We were there for a lot of reasons, but this little kitty just reached out to me, and Sharon said, "Here's the reason you're here." And I took him home, and he is a treasure and an angel. And you told me he was a treasure and an angel, and
yes.
He's never been on Earth before. But he's telling me a lot of things that he wants written in a book. And this seems strange, but As more and more as I am around you, the animals are talking to me. I've always loved them, but now they're just really making a point of speaking to me about things.
Not only that, but they're making you take dictation for their books.
Yes. And posters.
Yes. And who knows what else is coming.
I know. And we call him the little treasure, and also Treasurus Angelicus.
Yes, Treasurus Angelicus.
And he told me the other day, he said, "How would you feel if you were a mother hen that was so proud of her chicks and they were just taken away, or you never even saw them, or you couldn't scratch in the dirt? How would you feel if you brought forth a litter of baby pigs and you knew that they were going to be taken away from you and butchered? How would you feel? How would you feel if you knew that was the absolute destiny of your child, and your child would never grow up and never be happy and never see the sun? How would you feel?"
I remember along those lines, one time years ago, I was house sitting for a friend, and behind her field, there was a huge pasture of cows with little calves. And one morning, really early in the morning when I woke up, I heard all of this mournful mooing coming from the pasture. And, I mean, it wasn't just the regular mooing that cows do, but it was like they were all doing it together. And I went out in the backyard, and I looked out, and all the baby cows were gone, Iris. And the mothers were left there without their babies. The babies had all been taken away. And, I mean, my feeling is that the feeling of any mother of any species is the same.
Mine
but the cows
too.
And the chickens, they feel the same way when their babies are taken that you and I would feel if our baby was snatched from our arms and taken away.
And I can't imagine anything worse.
I can't either. What could be worse than having your child taken away?
And to know it was surely being abused and suffering.
That's right. And I just think there's no creature born on earth that isn't meant to live out a full, beautiful, long life.
And happy. And, you know, they're
abundant.
And also, there's been a limited thinking that there were too many animals for the homes. And so many people want an animal, and they don't go and do that for themselves.
That's
right. I really hope this Christmas season, everybody who in their heart wants to be with an animal goes to the SPCA or the Humane Society or one of the animal shelters and makes it Christmas for an animal.
Yes.
It is not appropriate. You know, by the Intergalactic Council, this is known as the Death Star. Because
yes.
We have solved things with death. We have thought, you know, like animals are paper cups. If you don't want them, you just throw them away. Have them killed. Have them put away. If there's too many, kill them. And I apologize to my cats that they're hearing this, but they're probably the ones saying it. It's not acceptable.
It's not only not acceptable, but it's really at the core of the horrible dilemma that we find ourselves in with the destruction of the environment and all of the wars that are continually going on. Because, you see, to me, you only have to be a little vibrationally sensitive to feel that all of the abuse of animals, particularly in laboratories and slaughterhouses where they're literally killed by the billions every day, it creates a band of a vibration of suffering around the earth. And so people that aren't privileged to have come in contact with spiritual teachings, they fall under the spell of that vibration of suffering and violence, and then they enact that without really knowing any better. So to me, one of the greatest movements towards world peace is to stop causing suffering to the animals. If we did that one thing, the earth would change overnight.
Well, also, I have noticed that people who can tolerate the suffering of animals don't know their own feelings. They are inured and armored.
I would agree with that totally.
And I know someone that used to experiment on animals, and this person gets tears. She's so tender, she gets tears at the drop of a hat. And she only did that because she thought she had to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody quits taking jobs like that, what will happen?
The suffering will stop overnight.
And so we really need to be unwilling to contribute to suffering in any way because we don't want to suffer. You know, this person who is now in touch with her feelings,
yeah.
You think she's glad she did that?
Mm-hmm.
God, no. She would do anything to erase those pictures from her mind
of
what she saw and participated in.
And I hope in some way she's able to erase the pictures and move on from here and do good things, because to me, because of that experience that she has and because she's a wonderful, tender-hearted person, she could do such a tremendous amount of good by telling her story and being brave and just saying how wrong it is.
I think that there is sort of a casual acceptance of a little poison or a little abuse or a little pain and suffering for everything, you know, sort of in the human consciousness.
Right.
You know, sort of that life is a bitch and then you die consciousness.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we just have to wake up to our true feelings.
We do, and I feel that so much of human behavior, if not all of it, or all of what appears to be negative behavior, is really based on fear. And somehow we've been brainwashed to think that we can be beautiful and healthy and abundant through the suffering of other beings, but it just isn't true. There's absolutely no way that we can have health ourselves if we're causing other beings to suffer.
Well, you know what I was thinking, too, about the cows mourning their children,
yes.
Mourning the loss of their children, is that what kind of milk can they be producing for people? What kind of milk would you be giving if your child had just been snatched from you? Wouldn't it be rage and terror?
And liquid grief.
Huh.
And of course, every cow that gives milk is going to be sent to slaughter eventually, because when they can no longer produce milk, the only thing that's waiting for them is death. And so, really, you're absolutely right. You know, when you take in even milk, you're taking in the suffering of that animal. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, I think that in earlier times when animals were respected more, I mean, there was a time when cows were tended with the greatest respect and groomed and decorated, and their milk was consumed, but it was consumed like it was a sacrament. And somehow we've just lost all of that. We've lost our connection to the sacredness of animals. And so that's why, to me, all of the products that come from animals, even if it's milk that may not immediately result in the death of the animal, still it's transmitting grief and suffering to us, because that's what the animals are going through. And, of course, we're then taking that into the cells of our body, and it creates, I think with a lot of people, it creates a state of constant anxiety that they don't understand. And it's as simple as the fact that they're taking in the suffering of other creatures, which can happen through the eating of meat or dairy products or wearing shoes that are made of leather. I mean, you're wearing the skin of the cadaver of an animal that's most likely died from some horrible death.
Well, and also didn't have a happy life.
That's right.
And you know, I was thinking about this a while back, that you know, I've gone through quite a process with it, is that I used to buy leather shoes because I figured as long as billions of them were being eaten, I might as well have the shoes.
Right.
And then I quit buying leather shoes, but I still wear them, you know. And I was thinking the other day, I have all these shoes that I've sort of nursed through with the shoe repair. And because I didn't want to buy any new ones, I didn't, because I feel that we do vote with our money.
Right.
And so I was thinking about all the meridians that we have in our feet, and they're connected to every organ in our body, and then we put them right next to, like I go barefoot in sandals.
Right.
Right next to the skin of a tortured animal.
That's right.
And, you know, we've sort of trained ourselves not to feel this, but the truth is we do feel it in every cell of our body.
That's right. It affects all the organ systems of the body. And, I mean, I also, Iris, used to wear leather shoes years ago because really, you know, for a long time, there weren't a lot of alternatives available. But now we have all these wonderful fabrics and things that shoes can be made out of that are just as wonderful and beautiful looking and don't cause any suffering to other beings. So there's lots and lots of choices now that weren't available before. And I think your point, you know, when you pointed out to me the other day your kind of awakening about the effect of the shoes, the leather shoes on the meridians in the foot, I had really never thought of that before, but it's absolutely true. And my goodness, you know, I would think anyone that could understand energy would stop wearing leather shoes immediately.
Well, you know, I have this thing about I really don't want them to waste.
Right.
But what if I send them to the Humane Society that you know, so they could be resold to someone who's still doing that? Or do you think it would just be the best to throw them away and burn them and call the violet flame?
Well, I've done it all different ways in a kind of progression. I mean, I gave all of my leather shoes at one point, or most of them, to the Humane Society. But I got to the point where that didn't feel right either. In fact, I've got a Humane Society thrift shop right across the street from me. And when I go in there and they have things like fur coats that they're selling, it doesn't seem right to me.
Hello?
But yeah, it just, it's totally and completely a conflict of interest. So to me, I think anymore I would have to really dispose of the leather in some way, either by burning it or, you know, some way that really transmutes it. And fire is a good transmuter.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to do a ceremony and have you burn my shoes with me.
I would love to do that.
You know, that's a powerful thing if you think about it.
It's an incredibly powerful thing.
You know, and it would definitely change the direction of where you were going.
That's right.
Okay. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I want to invite other people to do that. And, go ahead.
It's interesting, too, that I just read somewhere that the Dalai Lama was giving a speech to or a talk to a lot of Tibetans that are now in exile in India. I mean, literally thousands of Tibetans had come out to see him. And in their tradition, you know, when they go to see the Dalai Lama or some high teacher, they always wear their very finest clothes. But he was really horrified that so many of them showed up with hats and jackets and things that were trimmed in fur. He really said that it was totally out of keeping with the teachings of the Buddha, that they should never do that. And actually, for months after that, the Tibetans all burned their fur clothing, which created some other problems. But at least they burned it with a great respect and
yeah,
really sending the smoke from that up into the atmosphere like fire from a puja or something as a prayer and a healing.
To transmute. I think we have a caller, Sharon. Is that right, Dawn?
Hi, Iris, it's Dina.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Sharon.
Good
love to hear you.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Can you hear us good?
I just want to say I love you, and I wish you have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart, and you too.
A turkey-less Thanksgiving.
A Mexican, yes. Yes.
Do you want to share anything about animals and prosperity, or?
Well, I have a dog. His name is Maximo, and he's the love of my life now.
He's your man, isn't he?
Yes. He's my companion now. He's a Yorkshire. He's 5 years old, and I love him so much.
I just ask with all my heart that every animal everywhere have a home like Max has,
yes.
And a home like Treasurus has, and a home like Lily has, where they are loved and honored and supported and nurtured and valued and listened to.
Yes.
And so it is. We can end
it.
So it is.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dina.
I love you.
I love you too.
Bye bye.
Thank you for calling, Dina.
I don't think we have time today, Iris, but sometime on the show, you and I should talk about the ways in which not only do the animals connect us with our own, the purity of our inner being and how much beauty they bring into our life, but that animals can actually, in many ways, they can see our divine blueprint. And often they can guide us into the very work that we should be doing in the world that will bring the prosperity to us that we want. And I have many, many clients. I have my own story with Lily and how big a part she has played in my successful business. But I have many, many stories from clients that I could tell about how their companion animal really led them to their sole purpose and their work in the world. So animals are really capable of so, so much more than we ever give them credit for.
Well, you know, we do have about 8 minutes.
We do. Oh, my clock might be a little fast. Well, I could tell a short version of my story, which is that I about 18 years ago, maybe a little longer, I was very, very sick with Lyme disease and almost died. And I had been through some very difficult circumstances leading up to that. I was not only physically sick, but I had lost my daughter and gotten divorced and many, many, many life changes all at once. And I almost died and had a near-death experience and was told that I must come back because I hadn't even begun yet to do my work. And as I was healing from that Lyme disease, one of my beautiful little cats, Shoji, was hit and killed by a car at just 3 years old. And his companion, Lily, my tiger cat, is still with me. She's 23 now.
And what a treasure.
What a treasure she is. But little Shoji, from the other side, and this was after my near-death experience, began to come to me in meditations and dreams. And he was the one that guided me in the making of the Anaphora flower essences that are now so successful. And when he guided me in the making of the flower essences, I really had no idea at all that it would ever turn into a business. I just was in a state of being like a child for a while, so I simply took his instructions and made the essences. And by doing that, he really set me on my life path, and I kept following that and following it, and it blossomed into a business that has now become a nonprofit foundation. And this was all from a little cat after he had left his body. So we really must pay attention to our animals, both those that are living with us, but even messages that we get in dreams and meditations from ones who have gone beyond. And I have many clients who tell stories about how they started their business based on something that they were either told directly in a communication from the animal, or some way in which they wanted to make their animal comfortable through, you know, maybe a really wonderful bed or a particular kind of food that actually planted the seed for an entire business. So a lot of these animals, like my Lily and many other animals, you know, they're really, truly our partners, even partners in business. Like, I think of Lily as a businesswoman.
Oh, very much.
That's why I think she's still around at 23. She thinks I really wouldn't do it well without her. And she's right. I need constant direction.
Oh, and she'll tell you, too.
Yes, she will.
You out really quickly, really quickly.
And the other dear thing about Lily that's important to know is that Lily is not a fancy cat. She came out of the alley behind my house. She was born feral. And she came into the house on her own and has been with me ever since. But, you know, you'd be just amazed that the animal that you rescue or that you get from the alley that needs a home or from the Humane Society, that little creature may change your life and bring you all the abundance that you could ever imagine. So please do, all the listeners, go out at Christmas and adopt an animal if you can.
Yes, and give somebody a home.
Give somebody a home.
Give somebody a loving, 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 gentle, happy home. They give so much happiness.
Can I read a little something that you'll love that's from one of my great teachers, Joel Goldsmith?
What? I didn't hear all
I
of
said,
that.
Can I read something?
Absolutely.
A little quote.
Please.
This is from a wonderful American mystic, Joel Goldsmith, who says, he says that it is literally true that the day will come when the lions and the lambs will lie down together. It is literally true that we will walk into the lions' cages. In fact, they won't be caged. They'll be walking up and down the streets because our realization of our I Am presence as the nature and identity of all being, our own being, animal beings, vegetable beings, and mineral beings, will be so powerful that all creatures will be honored.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
And that's one of the beautiful images that Iris and I hold every day when we do our meditation, is that vision of the lion and the lamb lying together. Because for us, that really says it all, that every creature can live in harmony.
Well, yes, that's what we're shooting for here, if you'll pardon the expression. Our kind of shooting, huh?
Yeah.
I sort of see that as the miracle guns, you know.
Where that's right.
We create the holy instant where two or more are gathered together. They may ask what they will, and it shall be done.
That's right.
And we are really asking for that, and we ask you to join us asking for that. And then what you do is you say, and so it is, and then you go, blow on your miracle guns, put them back in.
That's right. I love that visual of miracle guns.
And so it is.
They smoke out the violet flame.
Yeah. I want to tell people how they can reach you, Sharon, and then I'd like to call the violet flame for all of these things.
Let's do.
And ask everyone to put everything in the violet flame that no longer serves them, and know it's the most powerful activity of transmutation that has ever been experienced from Saint Germain and the Violet Flame Angel. So tell people how they can reach you.
I can be most easily reached at my website, which is www.annaflora, ANAFLORA.com.
And also, Sharon, can you come back next week? Because I feel like we didn't get done here.
I would love to.
I feel like we're on a roll, and it's very important. And I have a whole lot of prosperity teachers lined up. Nobody can do next week. So it looks like you're on.
I'd love to do it.
Thank you, Sharon. And I would just like to ask everyone now to put everything in the violet flame that no longer serves you and call it forth with us now. Through the power and authority which I am, by the Lord God of our being, I am that I am. As the cosmic authority of eternal freedom to the earth, we now call forth the full gathered momentum, cosmic power, pressure, and intensity of the inner essence of the violet transmuting flame, the fire of forgiveness, the law of forgiveness, the spiral blue flame of Saint Germain, the violet flame power of the violet planet, the violet flame power of the great, great silence to heal, blaze, sweep, and love through all life, consuming, dissolving, and transmuting all cause, effect, record, and memory of everything that causes distress to life, and replacing it with the miracle of ascended masters, purity and perfection and joy, in which the lion does lie down with the lamb. And we accept nothing less. In the name of our beloved I Am Presence, in the name of mighty Saint Germain and the ascended Jesus Christ, and so it is.
So it is.
Thank you for being with us. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.